Hello, my name is David Bird, and this talk is on the subject of depression. It is one in a series of talks on aspects of lifestyle medicine. Just a little bit about myself. I am a doctor who works in Melbourne, Australia, and I have a special interest in lifestyle medicine and in nutritional medicine. So today we're going to talk about depression. It's a big subject. And I'm going to choose today to focus on some of the causes of depression. The art of good medicine is to try and locate the cause of a problem and then to offer solutions that can provide relief from that cause. I'm going to mention drug medication at the beginning of this talk, but I'm not going to refer to it later on. Drug medication treats depression mainly by altering neurotransmitters in the brain. I believe that medication has a place in the treatment of depression, particularly in cases when people are really low, are finding it hard to function at all, are very unmotivated and can't sort through the various aspects of their problem that might be causing their depression. I believe that in many cases, medicines that are used to treat depression should be considered as only short-term medications. They should be taken for perhaps 1 or 2 years and then reviewed after causes of the depression have been addressed and hopefully fixed. So what are some of the causes of depression? We're going to divide this talk into 4 sections discussing physical causes of depression. Then we will look at social causes of depression, then spiritual causes, and finally mental causes, or causes that come from the mind, the way we think. In most cases of depression, there is more than one cause, usually at least 2 or 3. And in order to find the causes, sometimes you have to be somewhat of a detective. I believe that this is part of a practitioner's role in helping someone with depression, is to be that detective, to empower the patient to find the causes, and then to give them ideas and inspiration in finding solutions to those causes. So let's look at some of the physical causes of depression. First, I'd like to mention head trauma. Have you ever suffered from concussion? One of the standard side effects from a significant head injury is a period of depression. And if a head injury is severe enough, and particularly if it causes changes to the brain structure, such as scarring, it can produce long-term depression. This is one of a few cases, in my opinion, where lifetime medication may be required. There are a variety of deficiencies that can contribute to depression. These include omega-3 deficiency. This is a type of beneficial oil found in linseeds, walnuts, wheat germ, and oily fish. Tryptophan is an amino acid that, if you are deficient in, it can cause deficiency of serotonin, which is an important neurotransmitter for having a happy mood. Foods that are high in tryptophan include tofu, spirulina, and even pumpkin. Vitamin B12 and other B vitamins are important for healthy brain function. Where do we get vitamin B12 from? This is found in animal products. So if you are a vegetarian, you would get it from eggs in particular. If you are a vegan, you should take a B12 supplement, in my opinion, or have a regular blood test for B12, or to at least take foods that are fortified in B12, such as Marmite or yeast flakes that have been fortified. Deficiency of folic acid can contribute to depression. Folic acid is found in green vegetables and peas. There are some minerals that can contribute to depression if they're deficient, and these include magnesium, manganese, selenium, zinc, and potassium. Sometimes a mineral supplement is necessary to make sure that these potential deficiencies are addressed. Lack of water or dehydration is another known contributor to depression. How much water are you drinking? In people over the age of 5, I like to use the formula 35 milliliters per kilogram of body weight. Three very important factors when it comes to depression are lack of sunshine, lack of exercise, and going to bed too late. In fact, these three are so important that I like to emphasize them when talking about treatment of depression. If you can get depressed people to regularly exercise, get plenty of sunshine, appropriate sunshine without burning, and get them to bed at a reasonable hour with good sleep, which is promoted by the exercise and the sunshine, then you have gone a long way to successfully treating their depression. Of these three, which do you think is the most difficult for depressed people to do? Yes, it is usually the going to bed too late is the most difficult for them to remedy. So people with depression need a lot of help and encouragement in going to bed no later than 10 o'clock, in my opinion. There is this tendency for people who are depressed, because they often feel slightly better in the evening, to delay going to bed. And in some cases, they can go to bed as late as 3 or 4 or even later in the morning and start getting up in the middle of the day. These people cannot and will not be able to cure their depression without normalizing their circadian rhythm. It's that important. Constipation can be a contributor to depression if it is severe enough. Obesity is another known contributor to depression. Also, physical conditions that reduce oxygen supply, certain lung conditions like emphysema, sleep apnea, and even regular exposure to poorly ventilated rooms can contribute to depression. How much fresh air do you get in your bedroom at night? How much fresh air are you getting in your house during the day or where you work? There are certain poisons that are known to contribute or cause depression. Certain heavy metals, mercury and lead in particular, and also the metals manganese and bismuth are known to be depressants when they are in poison quantities. Too much sugar in the diet can lead to depression. Also, regular consumption of aspartame or aspartame with the code number 951, exposure to formaldehyde regularly, alcohol, tobacco, and illicit drugs are all potential causes of depression, physical causes of depression. There are some pharmaceutical drugs that are known to have a side effect of depression. The commonest ones, in my experience, are the contraceptive pill. The contraceptive pill is a very powerful medicine and isn't to be underestimated. Prednisone can cause depression. A blood pressure tablet called ACE inhibitors can cause depression as a side effect. and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as ibuprofen, when given regularly, can be a cause of depression as a side effect of the medication in some cases. There are a variety of other medical conditions that have depression as a potential add-on, and these include thyroid disease, stroke, diabetes, postpartum or after birth, which in my experience is often related to hormonal issues with the thyroid or to deficiencies of nutrients, premenstrual syndrome, adrenal gland disease, lupus, certain bugs such as chronic candidiasis and Ross River fever, and also loss of vision or hearing or chronic pain can have depression as an add-on or side effect of those conditions. On the subject of loss of vision or hearing, it's important to realize that the loss of health is a grieving process that can change into depression. And in the case of vision or hearing, we often lose many of the enjoyable activities of life, things that we have previously cherished or found particularly enjoyable. And so there is a lot of adaptation required at the time of grieving the loss of these sensory functions. This is a particular problem in the case of young people if they lose their health in some significant manner. I would encourage older people to watch out for teenagers, for example, who have their first encounter with a serious health condition. If you are a teenager feeling unwell and you go to the doctor and they say you've got diabetes mellitus now and will require insulin injections for the rest of your life, then this can be a very significant blow that can lead to depression. Or, for example, a teenager might be told they have celiac disease and can never eat anything again that has gluten in, including wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Again, they might lose their tooth or have to wear glasses even, and this can be a contributor to depression in young people in particular. Chronic pain is well known to cause depression as a side effect. One of the commonest and saddest scenarios I have seen in general practice is the following. A labouring man, such as a builder, gets a back injury at work. He loses his regular job employment and has to stay at home to recuperate. He has chronic back pain. This leads to depression, which often manifests itself as irritability in men, and then his wife leaves him. This is a sad scenario that can be avoided, in my opinion, best by the wife or partner always, or at least as much as possible, attending medical appointments with their husband who has the back injury. Let us move on now from physical causes of depression to social factors that can lead to depression. This is a huge area that we're only going to be able to touch on in this talk. But there are many examples of childhood trauma or difficulties and social traumas that can contribute to depression. Let's give some examples. Parental separation, grandparents raising children, sexual abuse, refugee status, family violence or other trauma, for example, from a natural disaster, and unemployment or loneliness. These are all very significant social causes of depression. What can be done to help alleviate these powerful social causes of depression? I would like to offer one area that is potentially healing, and that is by discussing the subject of value and identity. Value and identity are very important. If you feel that you have no value and no identity, or in fact that you have a negative value and negative identity, that surely is depressing. But the truth of the matter is that everybody has incredibly positive value and identity. And people who have suffered from social trauma often feel that their value and identity has been attacked, and often feel that they do not have much value and identity. So where do we get our value and identity from? We get value and identity from association. For example, if you were asking me, David, who are you? And then you said, I don't want to know your name. I just want to know who you are. So how would I answer that? How would I give you my identity? Well, I might say, I'm a doctor. So I am giving my identity there in relation to my employment. I might say, I'm a doctor who works for so-and-so and therefore have associated myself with an employer. Many people get identity and value from their job description, whether it be a mother, a housekeeper, a plumber, an accountant, etc. But I might answer by saying, well, I'm an Australian. So we get identity and value from our nation, our citizenship. I might answer by saying, well, you haven't asked me for my name, but I'll tell you my father's name. It's Harry. So I am the son of Harry Bird. Our family is a very important source of identity and value. I might also say, I'm a Christian. I am a child of my heavenly father. So that is another family type identity and value that is very important to those who have faith in God. I might also say that I am a person who lives in such and such a town. So our local town is an area of identity and value that we get from being part of that community. You'll notice with our examples that we gave earlier of social stresses that can lead to depression, that in each case there was a loss of one of these identity structures that we are getting identity or value from. In the case of parental separation, grandparents raising children, and sexual abuse, there is a loss of family identity and value. In the case of refugee status, there is a loss of our national value and identity, and also our community identity and value. With unemployment, we have a loss of our employment identity and value. So for people who have suffered such losses, it's important to explore what remaining identity and value they have. One of the few identity structures that cannot be taken away from us, except by our own choice, is the identity and value that we get from God. We can lose the others, but we cannot lose God unless we decide to run away from Him. Therefore, faith is a very important anchor to help us maintain value and identity. So in the recovery of persons who suffer from depression relating to social causes, it's important to evaluate what identity structures are still present and to talk about the value and identity that can be obtained from them. It may also be important to explore new identity structures that they can link up with. Perhaps that might be a new employment opportunity. Perhaps it might be exploring faith in God. Perhaps it might be joining some club or hobby group? Well, we'll have to move on due to our time constraints. Let's now discuss spiritual causes of depression. I'm going to list common spiritual causes of depression. These include guilt, bitterness, or absence of forgiveness, loss of meaning, fear of death, involvement in the occult, and cultic slavery. We don't have enough time to really go into all of these important areas with the detail I would like to. But I'd like to be open and honest about my own experience here and my family experience. I have found that there is wonderful relief from all spiritual causes of depression through faith in Jesus Christ as a personal Saviour. If you read the Gospel accounts of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will find that Jesus is described as having power to set us free from guilt, from bitterness, from loss of meaning, from fear of death, from the devil and the occult, and from cultic slavery. So there is wonderful relief, I believe, from spiritual causes of depression through faith in Jesus Christ as a personal Saviour. I'd like to briefly mention a little bit about loss of meaning. In our world today, there are many people who believe in evolution. They believe that life is basically a tea break between oblivion. This has very little meaning when it comes to the long term. And in some people, this loss of meaning can lead to depression. What is life worth living for anyway? I'm just a living organism that has an existence for a mere few moments of time, and then oblivion for all eternity. This is a sad way of thinking, and I believe that faith in God, faith in life after death, through a personal encounter with Jesus Christ is a wonderful remedy for this loss of meaning. Of course, I don't have enough time here to go into the problems of evolutionary thinking, but I believe that this materialistic way of thinking is a cause of depression in modern society. Fear of death also may be linked to a lack of understanding of what happens after death and of a lack of faith in God. Perhaps I should mention briefly too involvement in the occult. If you or a loved one are suffering from depression, it may pay to examine your life to see if there is anything in it that is what I might call spooky or associated with the dark side of the spirit world. Witchcraft, Ouija boards, casting spells, trying to talk with the dead, and so on. Involvement with these things may be an important contributor to depression. And in order to find relief, you may need to do a spring clean in your life and get rid of things that are associated with the spirit world, with the occult. Now, in our remaining few minutes, I'd like to talk about the mental way things that can contribute to depression, disordered thinking that can lead to depression. Well, dwelling on the negative by choice can be a contributing factor in depression. There are some people who are just pessimists and have and develop this way of thinking in their lives. If they go for a walk in the park, they're looking at the rubbish and not the flowers. How do you think? Do you dwell on the negative side of life or on the positive side of life? There's always things to be grateful for. There's always things that we can choose to be grumbling about. And we have a choice to make. So let us be careful that we do not let our minds run in a negative channel. Let us cultivate an attitude of gratitude, of thankfulness. When's the last time you were grateful that you could have a warm shower, that you had food on your plate, that you had a roof over your head, or that you had a friend that you could trust? There are many things that we can be grateful for, and counting our blessings is a great way of contributing to positive mental health. Some people have a problem with catastrophizing. Little things go wrong and they make a mountain out of a molehill. If you have this tendency, be careful to keep things in perspective. Watching and reading depressing material is also a source of depression. For example, if you are watching horror movies regularly every night, don't expect to sleep well. What you feed in to your mind is what you're going to get out. And finally, listening to depressing music can be a cause of depression. What is depressing music? Well, I'll let you discuss that with your friends. But when taking public seminars, I've usually had two main answers, and that is heavy beat music and country and western that is focusing on loneliness and loss. So if you are depressed, make sure you are listening to bright and cheerful music, and this will be a great help, I believe, in lifting your spirits. Well, our time is almost up. This has been a brief discussion on the causes of depression. If you are suffering from depression, I would encourage you to take an inventory of the possible causes that could be contributing to your low mood. Write a list and develop a lifestyle plan that will address these various causes of depression. And as you address them, I'm sure that you will find that your mood will gradually begin to lift and you will experience more happiness in your life. May God bless you in this endeavor.